May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this is one of those colics again that really, just by reading the colic every day, could help us. Because what do we learn? We're supposed to keep God's commandments. Why? Because we want to get brownie points? No, because we love God. What else are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be devoted to God. Devoted to God. That means we put Him absolutely first among anything and anyone. And that's not easy to do. But that's what Jesus teaches us, because that's what He did, and that's what God calls us to do. And also with our love and our devotion to God, what are we to be? A united people, being united, being together, being as one. Not, we can have differences, but being united by love so that we can serve God as He deserves and as He wants. And then we start off with Ezekiel, because we learned through the lessons today what our behavior is supposed to be, and also how do we respond when we're rejected or if we have trouble. So it's our behavior and our response, and it all ties in with the calling: love, devotion, and unity. So at the end of this particular lesson, it says, whether they hear or refuse to hear, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And when we hear people talk, you ever get that feeling inside that, oh, yeah, that sounds right? Or, oh, that really doesn't sound right. And if we calculate it or bounce it off of what Jesus teaches us, that's our template. Jesus is our template. If it matches up to what we learn from our Savior, then it's right. And our spirit inside of us is giving us discernment to know whether that's good or not so good. So here we've got the gospel. Jesus comes back to Nazareth. He had been around and He comes back to Nazareth. And I know we've heard this a lot, but on the Sabbath day He went to the synagogue to teach. And by the way, this was the last time He went to a synagogue to teach. After that, we notice He goes out and around to towns and outside. And they were astonished when they heard Him. And this is where we get into a little bit of trouble with human nature. They start asking questions, even though they heard Him. And they knew that He was, you know, like a good teacher. He knew the Bible. He knew God the Father. And what He was saying was true. But they said, well, wait a minute. We know Him. He's just Jesus. We know Him. We know His sisters, His family, His brothers. Where did He get all of this? Where did He get the wisdom? How is He doing these deeds of power? And instead of talking to Him and listening to Him and praying themselves, they start to doubt. They start to get jealous. They start to reject Him. Because why? In their minds, a prophet or a Messiah, well, just can't be the next door neighbor or the kid down the street. Which, of course, it can be. And we learn from St. Paul that God uses the weak. He uses the ordinary. God uses anyone that is willing to allow Him to use them. So what happens? They took offense at Him, and they weren't happy. And so Jesus tells them, prophets are not without honor, except in their own hometown. Jesus wasn't doing what they wanted Him to do in their way. Jesus was doing God's will only in the way that God wanted. So what happens next? He was amazed at their unbelief. And for Him, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Almighty, and 100% a human man, was thinking to himself, it's not logical, you know? They should be coming to God because that's what he was sent to do, bringing us, reconciling all of us, them, all of us, the ones in the future, everyone back to God Almighty. So he was amazed at their unbelief. But he responded with love, patience, forgiveness, more healing, more teaching. And so what did he do? He went out among the villages and he told his disciples, he gave them authority, he gave them encouragement. He sent them out two by two so they could, what? Be his disciples and give the message to all the people. Now it wasn't just the Jews. It was everybody. It was the Gentiles. And a Gentile was anybody that wasn't a Jew. So his ministry went further. It went out to all people. And then he teaches them and us how to behave when we are doing God's work. He ordered them, take nothing for the journey except for a staff. Don't take bread, don't take bags, don't take money, in other words, don't take luggage. Wear sandals and just bring the minimum, one tunic. Why? Because first it was urgent. They needed to get going. They didn't need to pack and prepare. They had all that they needed. They had the Holy Spirit in them. They had the Messiah. So he's telling them, get going. Second is there to what? Trust in God. Depend on God. Depend and rely on him. Not on themselves. Not on anyone else. But depend on God. And then when they got to a home, when they got to a town, they were to be still trusting in God's provisions and stay in one place. Be content with what they feed you. As long as they accept you, teach them everything that you can. And then he tells them, if any place doesn't welcome you, if anybody doesn't accept the word of God that you're teaching them and healing them, and absolving them from their sins, then leave. Very gently and quietly, just leave. But then go out and get the dust off of your feet. And back then, what that meant was God's will needed to be done. And anything that opposed God, anything from, let's say, that household, you wanted to just dust off any opposition to the will of God, and then keep going to the next place. Always being content. Always trusting in God. And so what did they do? They all went out and they proclaimed. The first thing that John the Baptist proclaimed. The first thing that Jesus proclaimed. Repent. In other words, recognize your sin and change and go to God. And then to end, I have to admit, the section from St. Paul is actually a very humble reading. Very humble and very genuine. And I won't go over the first part. But what does St. Paul tell us? The same thing that Jesus... So St. Paul learned his lessons from Jesus. God's grace is sufficient for you. That's what he's telling them. Because why? God can make power when everyone is weak. And that doesn't mean wimpy or mealy-mouthed. That means vulnerable, willing to listen, willing to do what God wants and not what they want to do. So God's grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. And God is calling each and every one of us to love him, to be devoted, and to try our best to be united by the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, for the beautiful weather. We thank you for everyone here, and we ask for those who are here today who are having a terrible time getting up and downstairs. We just ask that you bless them and heal them and nurture them. And let all of us be devoted to you. Help all of us to follow your commandments because we love you. And help all of us to be united to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.